The Jacksonville Jaguars, certainly if you're just looking at the box score, they did enough to win this game. Mm. They had 6.5 yards per play. They only had 2 penalties. They were 56% on third down. You know, yes, they lost the turnover battle 2-1, but it was the consistent play from the Buffalo Bills, led by Josh Allen, that allowed the Buffalo Bills to win this game, because otherwise it seemed like Jacksonville was doing all the right things necessary to win this game, but they didn't have Josh Allen.
Jonathan Jones, breaking it down. It's not counted as a turnover, but that 4th and 2 play where Lawrence went down before the, well, now you're legally obligated to call that the line to gain. Everybody decided we're all going to call it that. We don't say first down anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like a turnover, and it's at the Bills' 9-yard line, or maybe the 8 officially, because it was 4th and 2 from the 9. So almost worse because of the field position. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. Football Monday. The Sabres home to Florida tonight. Here's to a great week. Let's go to Tony first up. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Okay.
Just a couple points. I love your show. I listen to it all the time from Toronto, Canada. I heard some commentary this morning that really got my irk up. People were calling in, and instead of enjoying what happened, they're complaining that the coach should have taken time off the clock at the end. And the only comment I have to make on that, I want to hear what you have to say, is that I don't care that they have a field goal kicker that can kick 70 yards. I care that we need 4 points, not 3. If we have a penalty or setback, we still need to get in the end zone, and anything could have happened. We could have went sideways a couple times. And secondly, before, I was disappointed with our run game, and I understand they're the number one run team. And at what point does the OC or the coach say, look, we need to abandon this run game, not because we're not doing well, which we weren't. It's the amount of time that comes off the clock every time we run a play and we're not going anywhere. What if we need that time near the end of the game? Love to hear what you guys think about that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, teams usually are, it's not usually recommended to, quote, abandon the run. I mean, even if it's not killing it. So I wouldn't have that criticism. It was a back and forth game and they ended up with enough time to win. I lean toward the point you didn't like other fans making, that if I can take 30 or 40 seconds off there by going straight down and have 2nd and goal at the 1 and Jacksonville can't stop the clock, that's better. But Bulldog mentioned the penalty possibility last night, and that's fair.
I do think it's fair, especially considering like you're not in an ideal situation there. You're at the end of a long, hard-fought game, for one thing. And you're down in an end zone where the crowd is right on top of you. And, I mean, I don't know. It's not like Jacksonville's got a reputation for being this cauldron of noise and emotion, but I'll bet it was really loud there, especially maybe it's different if you're trying to set up a field goal and you're at the 30 as opposed to down at an end zone. But – yeah, I mean, I think anything can happen there. I also would like to think, though, with all that, I think that's something to at least consider. You know, the idea that it's a no-brainer, I think, is difficult, which is why I made mention of, you know, a botched snap, a false start, anything. And especially this, too, and I didn't mention this yesterday, but consider how arbitrarily flags have been thrown on that very play this year. It hasn't happened to the Bills. Maybe they're just really buttoned up on it. But the Eagles have had, all year on Mondays, I'm seeing screen grabs of, oh, they didn't call it this time, but they did call it that time. Because somebody moved, you know, one of the guards moved just before the ball, and here comes a flag, and then here's later in the same game maybe, same crew watching, and the same thing happens, and they don't. I just don't want to take a chance that some side judge or something is going to be watching that play and go, well, you know, the league doesn't like this play, and I'm going to go ahead and throw a flag now and be a hero. You know, 2nd and goal at the 6 is a lot different. So I respect the optimal is bleeding more clock. Believe me, I was yelling it when they pushed Allen in the first place, and then when he, you know, walked right in on the game-winning score, I wanted more time to bleed off the clock, but then thought a little bit more about the consequences of, you know, taking that risk. There is some risk. You'd like to think you could be buttoned up enough to not make a mistake there, but one false move, one flinch, or just an itchy official and I'm from they're going to let me score to I'm at the 6-yard line and now my season's back on the line and I need a play that isn't as easy to execute as that play. So
nobody likes an itchy official.
I can put that all in the blender and still want to say optimally I'd rather bleed 40 seconds there, but I understand not wanting to take the chance.
Well, it's like fourth down stuff, I think, as we've had it through the years. What would the other team prefer? If you had the play where, like you said, Allen, it's overturned, right? The play before?
Right.
It's a touchdown at first, and they put him down at the one. And if I'm Jacksonville there, like, that is a huge blow. Oh, I couldn't even just have gotten him in so I could proceed. But then they go right in anyway, and I'm super relieved if I'm the Jags there.
Yeah.
I hated
it's what
it.
It's what I wanted you to do.
It's what I needed you to do.
Yeah.
And so now what I can't do is throw a pick immediately. That's just right. I've got – with that kicker, it does change the calculus on how much time that really is. And you really don't need timeouts. You can spike the ball. Like, Jacksonville was in a pretty good spot there. You mentioned on postgame the kickoff was perfect.
That was.
And they covered it well, so they started from the 23. That could have been worse.
Yeah, the Bills have been, I mean, I don't know what their average is, but it's close to the 30, I think, on kickoffs this year. And that could have been, you know, every little bit counts.
You can't throw a pick on the first play. You have to give yourself a chance. And easier said than done. Bosa on the Bishop interception just walks right through. He's lined up at right end. The left tackle completely whiffs. So he just walks right through the left tackle. And then the guard picks him up. But he's got the momentum. And the guard is sort of flat-footed. And he gets a hand on Lawrence. Like, that was not a slow-developing play. That was take the snap, look, go.
Right.
And, you know, you might not need or want to blame Lawrence for all of it. And part of that is that Bosa just sort of walked right in on that play, which was that was helpful. Dennis is next. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. A couple things. Number one, to your point right there, Mike, I'm not sure if you realize that, but, you know, he throws the pick on that last play. But right behind where he threw the ball, Parker Washington was coming open, and it would have probably been a touchdown. I don't know if you could catch a screen grab of that. It's really kind of like we're really fortunate. But you know, I'm thrilled with the win. You know, but sometimes you're always, you know, left wanting a little bit. And I got to be honest, like I'm usually a pretty positive guy, but Joe Brady's burned me a lot this year. He's just kind of irked me, and that's just a personal thing, I think. But you know, I'm a big fan of play your best players, and we play everybody all the time. And, you know, I look at this game, and sometimes I just think we make it harder on ourselves than it has to be. I don't understand the Dalton Kincaid thing. I've been saying it for pretty much the whole season. There's a possibility that he's not playing a lot because he's nursing this injury, but his snap share is so low, and I'm listening to Eric Wood and I'm listening to Sale before the game, and every statistical measure just goes on and on about what the benefit of having Dalton Kincaid out there is. And it's ridiculous. It's like an 8-point per game difference when he's playing, and you know, the conversion rate and everything. And he has 3 catches for 20 yards, and I don't know if he played more than 12 snaps.
28.
I couldn't find him on the field. How many?
It was 28, but it's right around.
Okay. All right.
Closer
a lot
to
more
his.
Than I thought that. Okay.
Yeah, closer to his season average, I think. Maybe a little below, but 44%.
They're not. Maybe we'll hear in, hopefully, not until February, mid February at that. Because that's when you get the list of who was nursing what and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I would be stunned, honestly, if the Bills were so incompetent that they didn't recognize every statistical advantage that Kincaid affords them, you know, and were just ignoring it. I have to think it's health related. I just don't know any other explanation. So they're trying to use him enough to impact the game. And yesterday he caught a touchdown that did matter ultimately, obviously in a very close game. But they don't want to use them all up in 1 week. They want to have them, you know, week over week here, ideally for 3 more games. And so the whole year has been that. And even with that, he's missed games.
I think it's, you know, it's evergreen, Kincaid. And is he actually 100%? Is he ever 100%? You know, not to knock him, but I still think it's more philosophical here. It's all, I mean, he's a part-time player, right? I mean, they have extra linemen or they have three wide receivers or, you know, Knox and all his usage. And it just limits, severely limits what Kincaid, you know, can do for them unless they back up on another strategy. And you and Dennis might be like, well, why don't they do that? They're not incompetent. Why wouldn't they do that? I think it's more about kind of Brandon Bean and the, hey, wait a minute. We are good though, right? Like we had the league's rushing leader. If my non-run blocking tight end plays twice as often, do I have the rushing? Do I win the rushing title? Yeah. I mean, do I win 12 games? Do I break Kincaid? Like I think they're probably middling it a little bit, like you're saying, for health reasons. But really, since Brady, if ever, he's never been, you know, he's not somebody that doesn't come off the field, right? He's always this way.
I feel like this year, on the heels of the way last year went, it's even, we can look this up, but I feel like it's even more dramatic this year, like how much he's off the field. And I just, I don't know. I think it's more health than you do.
Okay. Here's Russ next. Hi, Russ.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. I just am so stunned by Allen yesterday. I mean, I think it's, you guys have better reference on this, but it's got to be top 10 performance in Bills history. I mean, maybe top five. I don't know. It was just incredible. And which brings me to my second point. I got to listen to Romo tell me how his hands hurt. And meanwhile, he only has two incompletions, one of which is a drop, you know. And he was just, I don't usually have an opinion on these commentators, but he was so distracted yesterday and seemed like he was going to talk stuff into existence. The one that, you know, the end of the half with that was crazy. And then at the third and eighth, he's insisting that Milano got called, you know, held this guy. Never mind, the refs didn't call it. They call it on Benford, and they show you that replay for like half a second. It's been half a second discussing it, and I'm like, this is insane. I mean, I don't know what he's even talking about. And it looks like the penalty was questionable on Benford there. So do you think there's a chance? I mean, I don't know what your opinion on this stuff is, but do we get stuck with him again next week? Do we get Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt? I don't know if I can sit to it.
it'll be the number one crew. I mean, they've only got the one. Do they have a game each day?
I think there are two.
Okay,
and that way it could be.
So maybe it could be the other crew
Saturday.
Then
New England would get
Nance and Romo
probably.
I think from where he started from when he first got in there to where he is now, it's very tough. I don't enjoy him at all anymore on these games. I just don't think he's doing the work anymore.
I don't have as strong a feeling that way, but a lot of, wow, you guys, Jacksonville's actually really good yesterday. And it's sort of the premise is what? We don't think so because it's Jacksonville? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It didn't really fit with the actual conversation. I think they got a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need to be lectured on that.
Yeah.
The Benford penalty, he just didn't need to do it. You know, it's third and eight. This is the last Jacksonville touchdown drive.
That's right. Kept him alive.
Yeah. And, you know, he did kind of grab him. It's one of these, like, most defensive penalties where it doesn't have to be called.
Right.
But he didn't really need to do it.
He did grab the guy enough that you can't know whether Lawrence, if the guy would have been a little more open because Benford didn't grab him, maybe the ball does come to that guy. Right. It's one of these plays where you look like, oh, the ball didn't even go there. What are you doing throwing the flag? But like, that's not exactly the job, you know? So.
And it's sort of in his line of sight.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't on the other side of the field
that's
or something.
Right. That's
so.
Right. Yeah, he was where enough. He was close enough to where Lawrence was looking that it, you know, warranted. It was a very tough flag, but the analysis of it was more problematic than the flag being thrown in the first place, in my opinion. Because they, again, Romo had the wrong guy, and then they really didn't give you a, I don't think that's a foul or not. It was just sort of like, well, the game's moving, so here we go.
Yeah. Jacksonville played pretty fast for a lot of this game. I like that. We have Eric Wood coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at WGR.